July 6, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to start from the Hebrews chapter 7 verse 10. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Moses? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. This is a challenging part, and is talking about the change of the law from the law of Moses to the one from Melchizedek. Change of the law from the one written in the stone to the one written in our heart. Here, let's look at what the Bible says about the law in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. The Old Testament people had to keep the law, and that was all they knew. It says, "But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." We tend to think that if we keep the law, all 100 of them, for example, then we are good. But that is not what the Bible says. Paul is saying that same thing. It says the law is to know how sinful we are, and the law is there not for us to keep them all, only to feel self-righteous. That's why what we just read says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. So we first have to know what we are made of. For example, if you have a stomach cancer, you first have to have a test to verify what the problem is, then they can determine what they're going to do about it. The same thing with the law. First, law is there so that we can know what we need to work on. It's not there just to just keep them and then feel holy about ourselves. This applies to all the written law, both from Old and New Testament, including the one that says, "Love your enemy," from the New Testament. It must be written in our heart. I never tried to follow the Old Testament law, you know, like bringing sacrifices and burnt offerings, but after I became a Christian, I used to make tremendous effort to keep the law of the New Testament. This taught me my weaknesses and my inability to keep the law. So, as the verse says, that the law was my tutor to bring me to Christ. When I was in my 20s, I was going to this church which was affiliated with the holiness group. They seek to be holy and pure, and they were legalistic in some ways, and they had this doctrine that says that we all have to confess our sins in front of everyone. The reason they did this is from 1 John saying that we confess our sins, and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I started going there in my teens, and I didn't know anything, and I respected the pastor. So if the pastor said that we have to confess our sins in front of the congregation, I thought that's what we had to do. And I didn't like that idea at all, but the Holiness Church believed that it was the only way to be cleansed of our sins. So throughout the year, I was constantly examining my own sins and thinking that if I should confess this one, or I don't have to say this one, or if this is a sin enough that I have to say this, or I could keep this to myself because I don't want to say it in front of the people, and it just snowballed. I became so legalistic, and I kept confessing in front of the congregation. So every time I went up to the front to confess my sins, the pastor would look at me and like you again kind of look, but I was also thinking, isn't this what you told us to do? So I went through this embarrassing confessions, but it did not make me feel purified at all. And I exposed my sins to everyone, and I never felt like I was completely forgiven. So I started examining the smallest flaws in me, and I also started seeing the smallest flaws in others too. So I became a very harsh, critical person. A fellow member even told me that I was a critical person. I couldn't help it because I was constantly examining the flaws and sins of myself and others. So I was like Paul, but as he said, we can obtain righteousness through faith in Christ, and that's what happened to me. Later I found out the other churches didn't have such doctrine, so I felt like I wasted so many years and embarrassing myself unnecessarily. And that's why I understand what it says here, the law is tutor to bring us to Christ. I think Luther also went through a similar thing, and he was bound by the law and only to find the freedom in righteousness through faith in Christ. So the written law is there only to reflect ourselves, and the written law is not permanent and is subject to change. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshy commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are priest forever, according to the older order of Melchizedek. So what it says is that law of Moses is not permanent. Aaron's priesthood is not permanent, but priesthood of Melchizedek is permanent. But if you explain this to Jewish people who only know the Old Testament, people don't really understand or accept this concept. That's why you see throughout the New Testament that you see so much contention over this issue. Especially Paul angered many Jews over this. I read the New Testament and also Old Testament many times, and especially in the Old Testament, I see how much the law of Moses was emphasized over and over again. So when you tell them one day that you can discard the law, I don't think they could easily accept that idea. I can kind of understand that. I mean, they grew up with this, and then this is the only thing they know for generations. And I also hear that all the Jewish kids have to memorize the book by the age 12 or so. So in growing up, most of their life was spent for studying the law, keeping the law, memorizing the law, and protecting the law. And one day you are told that you're wrong? And I understand why they get so upset over this issue. But Paul was right, after all. So God made sure that Paul's message was also preserved. And as I read this, I see God's character, or rather God's way of doing things. He often does unthinkable thing, turning the table in the last minute. And there were this kind of God's unexpected acts done in Paul's time. So I think there might be another unexpected table turning acts of God in the end time again. So many things we teach at seminars, so in the newsletter, may be different from the modern day, modern doctrine of the Christian community. But that is what God has been revealing to us. So the persecution we face is similar to the persecution Paul faced in that sense. We speak what we know to be true, but those who are bound by the same old Christian doctrine will not hear us. just like the Jews did not listen to Paul. Churches don't believe that they are to be judged in the end time, and that's why they're still teaching that that we are to be lifted up before the tribulation. Many churches believe that the God's judgment will never come to the church, but this is predicted by God since the time of Genesis, since the time the people became spiritually blind. And Paul was commissioned by God to preach the gospel both to Jews and the Gentiles. And God appointed him as an administrator of the gospel, and his reward for this work was tremendous criticism, and some even tried to kill him. And as for us, God commissioned us to preach the end-time gospel, and we are obeying his voice. And the reward we receive is criticism from others, just like Paul. But at least we have not been beaten up like Paul. But some people get so angry when we send a newsletter to some bookstore in Shinjuku. That angered the store manager, I heard. But it is not our fault when people get mad at us. And the Bible says that there will be a time when the table is turned. Hebrews 7:18. For on the one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. The former commandment never became cause for our righteousness, but because of that, we were drawn to Christ. I want to look up about this commandment and law. Let's go to the Hebrew 8, starting from 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second, because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. Well, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." This is the new law and new covenant. The first law brought by Moses was letters written on the stone, but the new law is written in our heart, so this is our covenant. Do you feel the law is written in our heart? The law written on the stone was temporary. It was not the permanent one, but God really desired to write down his law in our heart so that we would know right from wrong. There are many churches that have written doctrines, but God wants to put his law in our heart, and then since the Bible says that he has written the law in our heart, it must be so. So if you believe that it is written, you must live as such by faith, and you will receive that from the Lord. But if you don't receive it because it is not visible, then you will not receive it. But when you believe it, and when you live by it, and it will become alive and will help you to grow in it. And the more you heed to the law written in your heart, you will become more sensitive to the leading. When I first became a Christian, I always asked the pastor what I need to do. But at one point, I realized that if the Bible says so, it must be true that the law should be written in my heart too, so that I don't need to ask the pastor, but rather listen to my heart. And the more I did it, the more it became real to me. God started teaching me what to do in all situations. For example, when people bad-mouthed about me, Lord told me how to respond back. Or when I see someone coming, the Lord would tell me if I should greet him or if I should avoid that person. the Lord has helped me to grow. And I remember when I was younger, people always got mad at me, and I didn't know why. And I was told that I was very ill-mannered. People even said to me that my mother has a good manner, but I am very bad. I was never aware of it, but since many people said so, I must have been pretty bad. But the Lord has also taught me many things. He would suggest me to speak in this way in this situation, and in that way in that situation. Or the Lord would tell me what to say to certain people, and I was able to avoid many troubles. So your upbringings do not matter because the Lord can teach you things. But I must say that you need the faith to be taught by God. But if you start living by faith, it would get easier. When you receive correction of the Lord, you would know that it is from Him. Even my reason of starting this teaching series, it was the Lord who told me to write the article and post it on the website. So if you let God lead you by faith, it will become more real to you. And we will read the next verse and then we'll conclude here. And is in as much as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek."